This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey everyone, today's episode is brought to you by our incredible sponsors that help make this show happen.
The Outdoor Podcast is proudly brought to you by XOP Outdoors, Carbon Express, Block Targets, Moultrie, Gas Bowstrings, and Burris Optics. Produced by Bowhunter Planet. We thank you for tuning in and being a part of our outdoor heritage.
Grab your favorite bow, your pack, your chair, and let's get started. I was going to tell you, above my kitchen table, there's a bottle of the yellow Sawyer. Oh. So when you get there, spray down the crap that you're
That's eating. Boring. I thought you were going to say it was a bottle of tequila.
No, I drank warm. That. I drank that. We should get this started.
That's what I thought you were going to say. I was like, wow, this is good. Yeah, I like where this is going.
Nope. Nope. Oh, gosh.
All right. Welcome to the podcast. The new season.
New fall season. Outdoor podcast. Tim, Dave. I don't know if you heard our bantered now, but yeah, just some middle-aged men, you know, talking about going up north.
Yeah, we can't wait. It's the best, man. So Tim and I, this is going to be our recap of what we've been doing since spring to now. And we have spent a lot of time up north in the land we got, spending quality family time. And I think that, and not just that, but just time, even times to ourselves, because to me, it's like you can do these type of jobs or you can do a real job, whatever you want to call it, but you have to be able to separate it at certain points. And people get caught up in social media. They get caught up in these things where they have to work. And I'm like, no, you know what? Not only am I not going to do this during that time, I'm not going to post very much. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to post reruns and things, you know, but
you need to disconnect. You have to disconnect. Every now and again, yeah. Right. That's what PTOs and vacations and all, you know, vacation time and all that's about. And it's been, you know, I'll be honest, it's been a really fast summer, but it's been a really good summer. You know, we have the opportunity to every year, my family, do a 2-week camping trip. And I say camping, I mean, we're towing our trailer. And we got to do that this year. And we went, you know, farther than we ever had distance wise. We've been all up and down the East Coast, home base in Michigan, up and down the East Coast of the U.S., Midwest. And we decided to go out west to South Dakota this year. And I'm glad we did that, man. I was a little skeptical. Not just the drive, but like I've been there, been through there a couple times. But my wife and kids weren't. But it's so beautiful out there, dude. I mean, I could almost go back every year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. South Dakota's gorgeous. It's not what you think it is, because it's like.
Well,
the way you look at it on a map, right? Yeah. The way you look on a map, you're like, it's kind
of
like.
Most of it is.
Barren, wasted land almost. But then all of a sudden, there's just like. There's this oasis called the Black Hills, right? Yeah. And you get to that, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, and Custer State Park and all that area. You're just like, wow, that's like really west, you know, like this is like Yellowstone a little bit, you know, like to a, like you're like,
for sure. Yeah. It's just a little flavor of Yellowstone.
When you see the Badlands, though, you're like, oh, this is like wasteland, you know, it's strange.
You know? Yeah, you hear Badlands. I think everybody, like, I get it confused with Death Valley, right? Like, because there's not a lot there, but there are animals. I mean, when we went, so what did we do? We did probably a 10-day stint out there. You know, I had a two-week period to go out there, but did a 10-day stint. We stayed 4 days in the Badlands, and it was a day too long. That last day was just like, we did everything, we saw everything, and now what? And even like, we even went into Rapid City, which is right outside the Black Hills, on the last day, because we're like, well, we might as well do that today because it's only an hour and a half away, rather than, you know, having to burn a day during our next stop doing it. But Badlands was amazing, man. We saw Buffalo. Did I tell you the story about the rattlesnake?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is probably day. So day one, we get there, sunset, awesome. Couldn't beat it. Totally sold in the place after that. Day two, we go in and we wake up early. Like that's what, not early, early, but like we're up and we're out and we're doing things by 8 o'clock in the morning before everybody else is up because we want to go drive around, see the things that, and have not have everybody around and not deal with traffic and all that stuff. So we head into the Badlands from our campsite, probably about 15 minutes out, you know, not bad. And we get to the first walking area. Kids want to climb on all the rocks. So we go over there and it's mostly dry there, right? Mm-hmm. It'll rain every once in a while. It's almost like a deserty type of area. So there's this dry creek bed, no water in it, right? And this walking bridge that goes across it, but the dry creek bed's maybe not even 2 feet deep, right? So we get out of the car, we're getting ready to go. Aiden starts walking. He doesn't use the bridge that goes across the dry creek bed. Decides to walk across the dry creek bed. And as soon as he, so bridges here, he's right to the right of the walking bridge. As soon as he takes his first step, he yells, snake, jumps like 3 feet out of the way. And I'm like, what? And I look over, no crap. Right where he was about to step, his second step, was this big fat rattlesnake.
Imagine jumping from the one and landing in another.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Like no Indiana doubt. Jones. That scared the living bejesus out of him. And we talked to him. So here's the thing. We talked to him about this before.
Yeah.
Because there was a time years ago, we went to Georgia. Similar thing. Like we live in it. So what you need to understand is we live in a state where nothing kills you. Right. Like
technically a black bear could sit on us up north and kill us.
I mean, you got brown recluse and black, but you never see them. Yeah, right. Like it's very rare.
We have wolf packs, but that's rare.
Yeah. And so like we live in a state where like going for a walk in the woods won't kill you. And, we had this conversation years ago because there was an incident where my son was in Georgia. We were at this campground and he's walking around and there is this rock that he turned over and there's this huge black snake under it and he's sitting there trying to pick it up.
Oh my.
You know, thankfully it wasn't poisonous, but it was like, dude, yeah, we need to, something I never thought about that we need to have a conversation about. So we did talk to him and I think he learned his lessons.
I mean, that's kind of like the story when we went to Yellowstone and we didn't really understand the terrain or what could happen. And then, getting caught in a snowstorm when we had no idea or that rainstorm that was a possibility because
just
we
were walking
so
up
out of
steps
our element. Yeah.
Was the,
so out of our just element.
Walking up steps was the most, biggest thing that hurt me there.
Tim sprained both his ankles.
Both ankles walking up the stairs.
That was crazy. Yeah.
But you're right. I mean,
why did we leave that one hotel? Remember there was like something creepy? Remember? And we're like, we're not going to stay here. And we ended up not getting our money back. Remember you wouldn't refund us?
I don't remember. Honestly, I don't remember that. Was that where I sprained my ankle?
Yeah, it is. And then we ended up not even staying there. I forgot what happened. There's something weird.
Yeah, we went into the room. I don't, honestly, to be fair, like I was not in the right mindset after I sprained both ankles. Yeah, so that's probably why I don't remember that.
Remember going to a warehouse where they had medical supplies and then we found you a cane or like a
air cast and crutches. Yeah, so I air cast and crutched.
So do you know the history of where the Badlands got their name?
This is what I remember from my trip, right? So the Indians, the Native Americans that are there used to call it the Badlands. I forget like their term for it because it was kind of impassable. As soon as you hit that area, they couldn't pass it because of all of the different rock formations and stuff. So they would call it the Badlands. That's what I remember reading.
Yeah.
You have something different?
It's very close.
What?
I just noticed. I was just watching our volume.
Yeah.
It seemed real low. I don't know when you're talking.
I'm hitting red.
You are right now, but maybe because you're aimed at it now before you're aimed at me.
Oh, yeah, let's try that. Yeah, that's low.
Just try to get it more in front of you then
because
I want to make sure that you guys can hear. All right, so the actual, what it says is, the Badlands got their name from the challenging terrain that makes travel difficult. That's what it said, right? Okay. Yep. And it says the Lakota people first called the area Mako Saka, meaning land bad. So land bad.
Yeah.
While French fur trappers translated this as Les Mouvasses, I can't say that.
Yeah, Mouvasses.
Terres
Traversis.
Or Badlands to travel across. See, now that's interesting. So Badlands, the Badlands, what we look at as the Badlands today, is it really like you can't build on it? Like you can't build around it? It'll cave in? Or why is it? You know, I'm not talking about where the holes are, but like, you know, the land parts. Where
no, I mean, it's just a big rock formation.
There's no water, probably.
No, right? there's farms around there. Oh. Right? There's a town, like, so you, when you go through.
Oh, it's probably protected, right?
That's yeah, it's right. An, it's protected. Okay. So it's yeah, surrounded it's a national park. By yeah. Yeah, so you have the Badlands, but then it's surrounded by the national grasslands.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's why they, that area. Yeah, cool. I was going to say, it's got to be, why. I figured the name Badlands came from that concept because yeah. I'm like, it makes sense. It's like deserted, you know, dry. Yeah. But interesting area though, South Dakota. I love the history of the American Indian history there. The statues they have that they started was the one, is it Joseph or?
The monuments.
Yeah, they have a monument.
Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse. That's yep. It's not finished, right?
Yep. It was like they're yeah, it's still being like worked on. Yeah, still being worked on. Still trying to raise money for it. Yeah.
Rushmore is cool to see in person. Custer State Park was wonderful. In fact, where we stayed in Custer State Park, the campground we stayed at was where Custer's men stayed. Like that was the actual
army.
Yeah, that was the land military. They actually lived on for years or whatever, how long nice. They were there, and they're hunting in the woods, like the woods you
like
walk
the actual
through.
Campground.
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
The woods you walk through is the woods they would walk every day hunting. Like it was crazy. So I just try to put myself in that mindset of like thinking like I'd be walking through there and I'd be thinking about, because there's like really cool trails that come around a big circle, you know. Number one, I thought this is probably a really bad idea because of grizzly or something, right? But I had bear mace. Number two, I try to put myself in their shoes, like, man, what would this have been like, you know, if I was walking around with a musket and, you know, looking for deer to kill, to feed the crew, you know.
It's yeah, nuts. There was only two species of animal that was on our target list that we didn't see. Black bear was one of them, and then the other one was a mountain goat. Mm-hmm. But we did see bighorn sheep, which was pretty, but yeah, I was like, at first I didn't, they didn't really look like big this summertime. So they've lost their, you know, big coats, and the ones we saw were female. So they didn't have the big, you know, rounded horns and all that stuff. But, it was pretty cool, man. I thought that was, so we saw that. What else did we see? Buffalo, the bighorn, name some other animals here. Rattlesnake, obviously. We did not see a golden eagle.
Any cougars?
Did not see cougars.
Cats are the hardest to see. They don't really like to be seen.
We saw pretty much everything you could see except for the mountain goat thing was like, that's so hard. You
know, very
bear.
Hard.
And bear.
Them and cats.
You know, bear, you don't expect this.
Except if you're at Yellowstone, you'll see bear every time.
Elk, almost. Sorry, we saw elk. Elk was
any
cool.
Moose?
No moose. No moose out there. I don't think there's any moose out there. I don't think they have enough water in the area, like wetland area for them, because moose kind of tend to be attracted to those boggy type of
I guess that makes areas. Sense. Yeah. Probably why you see them a lot in Canada in that northern wet area.
Yeah, but it's, man, I'll tell you, this is my official endorsement of South Dakota, man. It was pretty cool. And while you're out there, you got to do Devil's Tower.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was a couple hours away in Wyoming, but it was still...
So explain to people what Devil's Tower is.
So Devil's Tower is just a rock formation that I want to say it's the elevation's like around the surrounding area, like 3,700 feet tall, and it is a big column of rock formations.
So 1,267 feet.
Around the surrounding?
Above Belly Fruitru River?
Okay. Yep. And I think it's 3,600 then above sea level. I could.
Oh,
remember.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah. So I mean, it towers above the surrounding area, but it's all by itself, isolated, right? So it's this big column-shaped rock formation with these very vertical sides and a flat, plateaued top on it. And you can see it from miles and miles and miles away as you're driving in, but it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, you have the ability to walk around it. You have the ability actually to walk around. They allow you to walk around all the rocks all the way up until really almost the edge of the vertical, you know, the vertical face of it, which was pretty cool. So I thought that was pretty darn interesting. The coolest part is that we went there early. I'll say that a lot, you know, going to all these places when you go in the summertime, when it's like tourist season. So we went, we left early 7 o'clock. I think we got there about 20 minutes after the park opened. There was already a couple hundred people there. We did our thing. We walked around. Probably took us an hour and a half to just do all the different stuff that we were doing. We left, and by the time we left, so this is like right around lunchtime at this point, there was a 2.5 mile backup of cars waiting to get in.
Wow.
So they have a track, like their parking lot is so freaking small. It probably only fits several hundred cars. And there's a traffic light and they stop every, once everything gets full, they stop everybody. And then as a car comes out, they let a car in.
Wow.
And crazy. And there was, I mean, if you didn't get there early, I heard horror stories of people waiting 2.5 hours
Jeez.
In line to just get a parking spot into that place. So go early. Tourist season, that's my recommendation. Well, no, because it wasn't Native American, I don't believe, because they believe it originated from a big bear, right? Scratching post of a big bear.
The bear lodge. They call it the bear
lodge. Yeah, so I don't think it was Native American name, so I had to have been some other origin.
It's actually funny because it says the name Devil's Tower came about due to a mistranslation of Native American name by a military expedition in 1870s.
Interesting.
So basically they thought they were
they thought Devil's they Tower, named it Devil's so they named Tower. It. Okay.
It says about 65 million years ago, magma intruded into existing sediment rock layers. The magma cooled and solidified, forming the distinctive columns we see today.
I still think it's a big tree.
I don't know. Over millions of years, surrounding sediment rock eroded away, exposing what you see now. Known as Devil's Tower.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, man, honestly. It's
600 feet tall, 20 feet wide. What's this? The columns. Hexagon can be up to 20 feet wide and 600 feet tall.
And you can actually rock climb it. Like, you gotta register and all that, but you can rock. I remember when I was a kid years ago, that was like the coolest thing, is going to Devil's Tower and you saw these people literally climbing. I didn't see that when we went this last time, but that's pretty darn cool, man.
Oh, it says in 1875, Lieutenant Colonel Richard Dodge led a military expedition to the area. He misinterpreted the Native American name, possibly mistaking the word for bear with bad god.
Ah, that makes sense.
He published a popular account of his expedition using the name Devil's Tower, which stuck.
That makes interesting. Sense.
Interesting. Yeah. A little history,
you know,
here.
That's the other thing about that area, is there is just so much Native American history out there. It's so cool to see. All the Native American history,
really?
It's amazing. Impact that Native Americans have had, not just on this country, but in that area, you know, specifically.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Specifically in the Lakotas, I think they're one of the biggest tribes in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to, you know, be involved in that culture and kind of see it. So this trip, a lot of trips that we go on, we do a lot of food type of stuff. Like, we'll go out to really nice meals and all. There wasn't a lot of that out there, right? But what we had for the first time, so good, Indian tacos.
Oh, interesting.
So instead, you know, like, it's a taco, right?
Yeah.
You got your meat, lettuce, cheese, tomatoes, sour cream, olives, you know, that type of, although olives, by the way, I had this debate with my family this whole time. Olives are not Mexican food.
Great.
They don't belong on Mexican food.
Yeah.
So, no. I hate olives.
Someone added them. Someone added
them. Yeah. So stop putting olives on Mexican food. It makes no sense. Tex-Mex, whatever you want to call it.
Olives are like Egyptian, right? That was like way back.
Yeah, Greek.
Greek.
Yeah, Greek, yeah. Italian, like, Middle Eastern, you know?
What was the Cleopatra, that area?
Yeah.
Right?
It was Middle Eastern, yeah. that whole Mediterranean area, for sure.
Mediterranean.
But you have all that, and the meat's almost like a Coney Island type of chili, type of saucy type of meat. But instead of it being in a taco or a tortilla, it's on fry bread. It's on it's on Native American fry bread. So they cook the fry bread and then load the so good, man. But I mean, it's so heavy though. So I mean, one of those you could eat two meals.
Wow.
No problem.
Interesting.
Pretty cool stuff, man.
Yeah, that area of the country. You know, I've been. I'm a very big. I love history stuff, and I love. There's a show called The West by Ken Burns, and it actually goes through. There's two different shows by Ken Burns. There's one called Lewis and Clark Adventure. That's obviously goes back before The West. After the Lewis and Clark Adventure, The West begins, which is where they start moving west after the
Oregon Trail.
Yes, so they start going there, and there's so much that happens in that time frame when the Americans started going west and intruding into this Native American lands and other people's land. It wasn't just Native Americans. I think people mistake that sometimes. What people don't understand is like Mexico actually owned California.
That was the whole Alamo.
The whole Alamo all the way up into California. Yeah. There was one guy alone. I don't know his name, but he owned like 250 million acres of California. This one Mexican guy.
But they sold it off. Right, like there's correct. Certain people, like that's the thing, is like we didn't fight for all of it. Like some of it, I think some of that, like we bought.
Correct. This was after the Alamo. Yeah. So after the Alamo, what was left, they acquired through money.
Yeah.
And then that money, the guy, like for instance, the example though is the guy who owned it was all for the sale to the United States. He's like, oh, this is gonna be great. You know, I can get out of Mexico. And we go, but then when that happened, he didn't necessarily own it no more.
Yeah. No.
You see. Done. So then they started. Then they found gold on his land. And people were just going on his land, taking the gold, and he couldn't really do anything about it, you know.
Too many people.
So he ended up losing all that land. Like, it was pretty sad, really, because, I mean, you had this, you know, his whole lifestyle has been this land. Yeah. There's a good story about the guy, but anyway, there's just so many stories, though. And and what I love about the Ken Burns documentary about it is that they cover all those stories and all sorts of stories, because everybody wants to say, like, there's good and bad, but that's not true. There's a very big mix of people. There's bad American people, there's bad Indian people, there's bad, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's good people, there's good Indians, good Americans.
But by far, we screwed the Native Americans over.
Oh, well, bad. I'm not saying that in history overall, but like, again, you know what I mean? Like, there was good and bad on both sides. Yeah. There was people making deals with the Native Americans that were good deals for them, and they were fair. They were very fair. And then then their boss's boss said no and then didn't do it, right? So this is where, this is what I'm saying. They're given the authority to make a decision. They make the decision.
Then they change their name,
like three guys up, change who's not there doing the work or, you know, doesn't care about people. So, or maybe just cares about money, right? And again, money always comes into play with all these things and wars and all that. But either way, but the point is, there's a lot of amazing history when you look to the West and you see what has happened.
And the thing is, like, it didn't happen that long ago.
Mm-mm.
And it didn't happen over a very long period of time either.
Yeah.
Like, the expansion out to the West took, what, maybe 100 years?
Well, once they got that railroad in, it was
And maybe not even that. I mean, you think about it. We have a huge population on the East Coast and a huge population on the West Coast. The West Coast is there because of the gold rush, right? Yeah. Everything in between, who knows what that would have looked like if they never found gold in California that early. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But there was people coming from China taking that gold. There was people coming from, they were taking a boat across the ocean and they were mining the gold and taking it back. So then the locals were like, what's going on here? Like, this is American soil. How can this Chinaman come take this? This is what they're saying. And so eventually it started a lot of issues because, you know, these people from China were harder workers. They're like literally working to the death to get this gold and they were finding it. Yep. But that was pissing off the locals, right? So then they hurry up and, you know, passed laws that said you can't be Chinese and be here, and they kicked them out. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of that.
I mean, there was a lot of other worse stuff too, you know, but it was just, it's crazy. And then there's people who didn't do anything with the gold, but they started
more money
shop,
than anything else.
They sold shovels and all that stuff, and they're the, like, ones who made the most money. You know, 100%. Brothels, or, you know, they made so much money.
Yep.
There's one lady who had a kitchen. She created a kitchen to help feed people there, and they paid to get food. And she would literally, she made like millions of dollars, like back then. I mean, that's worth like, I can't.
Yeah, it was I mean, you got two people, right? You got the people three people. You got the ones that are actually making the money from the gold,
mm-hmm.
ones that are trying to find the gold that are poor, that aren't finding the gold, and the one that's selling them all their equipment. It's that one that's selling them all their equipment that's making
the crazy part to me is the people who first found the gold, instead of like bulk up on that gold. You know, instead they took it in, got money for it, and then they're like, where are you getting this gold? And eventually, you know, they lose control of the area and everybody's coming and taking the gold. But I bet you originally, I would bet, just guessing, but I would bet originally, the first 10 guys who actually found gold there and knew what it was, there was probably gold you could just walk and pick up.
Oh, sure.
Like, it was probably just laying in the
river. Well, they're peeing in the
just
river.
Just like you look through the river right now, 100%. You look in there, you could probably see gold 100%. Everywhere. 100%. Can you imagine how that would look if you saw that today and no one? Or you just found some random stream today up north and it had gold in it. You just look and you're like, what is that?
So, I mean, it's kind of like a good fishing spot nowadays, right? Oh, yeah. Like, you keep it secret. You don't tell anybody, but everybody's watching you.
They would have never been able to get it all out. Yeah. I mean, they had companies doing it at some point. They were digging down, like, 20 feet down, you know, creating craters to get
all the mines and all that
stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there was going to be a lot more gold they would never reach, but my point would have been, like, I would have freaking bucketed up all that gold, you know? I would have buried it somewhere else and then took it in a little at a time and, you know.
100%, man.
I wonder how much that gold's still out there today. You know, like buried somewhere. Like someone's walking through the woods with it. They're walking through the woods.
Something that's already been mined?
They died. And it got buried over time naturally, and it's still there. Think about it. Like middle of the woods, just some guy.
There are some movies made about
that. There's a lot of movies like that. There's a guy out there.
Was City Slickers one of them?
I think so. City Slickers is definitely something like that. Yeah. There was other stories, like short stories I saw that were recently, that are newer, that actually talked about, that one was an old man, and he found this gold, and he found a gold, like he's chipping in the middle of the field. He's just checking different spots, and he sees this gold. It's this big. He starts chipping at it, and it's getting bigger. It's not little. It's actually a boulder of gold.
No way.
And he's lurking on it. There's no one around. It's in the middle of nowhere. He's working, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a guy standing over him with a gun and shoots him. You know, because the guy just wandered
over. Of course.
But he wasn't dead. He played dead.
I mean, no, that's wrong.
He got hit. He got hit somewhere where he didn't die. He fell over. He just played dead. And then it's a guy. Somehow he ended up winning the battle, but he ended up dying anyway. He ended up, you know, getting affected and dying out there. And the gold just sat there. Both those guys dead, right?
Horrible. I was, check me on this. So there was something else I wanted to say about the wildlife out there. So this was a surprising thing to me. I was curious about the buffalo, right? Because
my American bison?
Yeah. So my wife was telling me, so you go to Custer State Park, there is the wildlife loop where all of the buffalo are. Like, they're not, it's a huge range, but they're fenced in. And what my wife was telling me is, like, once a year, they bring them all in and then they take some out of the herd and they sell some off. So they keep the herd like around 1,000 or something like that. And I was like, oh, I'm curious about that. I mean, there used to be millions of buffalo, right? Or bison in America. And so I started looking and I'm like, I wanted to know about the population, the wild population over in Yellowstone, right? So look up the population of Yellowstone. Check me on this. I think from what I remember, the bison population in Yellowstone, I think they try to keep the herd around 6,000 to 7,000, right?
3,500 to 6,000.
Okay, so 6,000 on the high end, right? Think about that. 6,000, everybody want, you know, you can see videos of American bison all over the place. Think about how few there actually are and how many people, you know, see them and what it would have looked like when there were hundreds of thousands of buffalo across the grasslands in the Midwest.
1,500 in Custard.
Yeah, so not 7, a lot, 000, right?
Yeah.
So now...
Well, they can't allow them to grow too much because now, they would eat everything.
Right? Search for... This is the most interesting fact. Search for largest private buffalo herd. See if that pops it up. Or bison. And what's the number on that?
The largest private bison herd in the world is owned by Turner Enterprises with an estimated 45,000 bison across their 15 ranches in the U.S.
45,000 privately owned bison compared to 6,000 wild bison.
Why would that be?
You know, it just there's something wrong with that in my mind. Why wouldn't, and I get, like, listen, totally get it.
But they're in kennels? Like, they're in cages? Like, large cages?
Or? Like, the privately owned ones?
Yeah.
No, it's like, I looked this Turner Ranch up. They own, like, millions of acres across Montana and Wyoming, right? So it's all these huge, huge, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of acres ranches that they have these bison on.
What's this guy do for a living? It's a person. This is Mr. Turner.
Yeah, so this Turner Enterprises has a population of bison that is, what, eight times larger than the largest wild population of bison?
That's crazy.
Like, to me, there's something wrong with that. Not that there's anything wrong with
the dude. It says Ted Turner. Is this a CNN guy? The old CNN? Ted Turner.
Yeah, it might be.
It's Ted Turner, I think. It just says Ted Turner. His career, Ted Turner won the recognition for his entrepreneur.
That looks like the dude from The Ranch on Netflix.
Wait a minute. Vision that transformed television leader.
Oh, yeah. Transformed television? That's got to be him.
Yeah, CNN. This is Ted Turner.
So, that's so, why he's so like a he owns. Yeah, but he. But think about that though. He owns 45,000 bison compared to 6,000 wild bison in the U.S.
Yeah, that's weird.
8,000 if you throw in the Badlands. You know, but that just doesn't make sense to me. You know why? Why we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands, and that's all we have now, and most of it's private.
You know what, Tim? We could take this conversation to banking. When did banking go private sector instead of the government owning the money?
Let's not go there.
1913.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, that's crazy, too. But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think, you know, I don't know why they do that. Is it because maybe they don't have the grass to feed them or something?
Well, you gotta remember, like, right, it's like Michigan, right? You let the bison population get out of control. There's going to be crop damage. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be an increase in predators because now there's more prey. Mm-hmm. So I get that they're trying to balance it, but why not grow it over time to something more?
Yeah, that seems small, 6,000. Yeah. I would think one disease could wipe
out. I mean, think how big you've been to Yellowstone. Think how big Yellowstone is. There's only 6,000.
Well, maybe they don't care because that dude does have 45,000.
What does it mean to be unrivaled? To be unrivaled isn't about winning a trophy. It's about putting in the hours that nobody else sees. To be unrivaled isn't just a choice, it's a lifestyle. It's to push yourself to be your best day in and day out. Gas Bowstrings. Be unrivaled.
Could be.
So they could always get more if they have disease.
Could be.
Kills. I don't know.
But I want to see bison everywhere, like deer, man. That'd be cool.
I don't see why we don't bison in Michigan.
What's you know?
The do they live here?
No. Not naturally.
Why not, though?
I don't think they ever have.
It's interesting, though.
I don't know.
It's not cold enough.
Nothing's really stopping them, right? They could have came through the UP.
Is there not enough food here, maybe, because we have grasslands to feed on?
I mean, I don't. Yeah, probably because it's a lot of woods. Like back in the day, a lot of woods in Minnesota and Wisconsin.
It's kind of like a grassland. Big cow, really.
But that is true. They need the grassland.
They need the grass. Yeah. I don't know how they... But if you think about it, they never really were here either.
No.
So, I mean, and you know, back in that day, I mean, they killed so many bison, dude. I don't even know.
Yeah.
They said that one guy said it was as far as you could see. There's dead bodies of bison everywhere. Kept. Yeah. You know, they keep them all.
Herds of hundreds. I mean, it was like the Great African Plains, you know, with the wild wildebeest and stuff out there, but...
All right, so we'll
very cool.
We'll see you this summer.
Wow, we did a lot of talking.
We ran way too far into that one. What a rabbit hole that was.
There'll be a lot of clips out of that one. What else did we do this summer? We hung out up north.
Yeah, it was a good summer trip. You know? I mean, the good summer vacation. I mean, a lot of time up north, a lot of time just cruising on our mopeds.
Yeah, boom. Buddy.
Moped.
Scooter Club.
It's so fun. Cruise on that. Tim only went off the road once. He just did it like 2 weeks ago.
The SSCS almost went off the road. I did go off the road.
Lucky.
I didn't
He's dump lucky it. There wasn't a mailbox.
I didn't dump it, but I did go off dumped the road. Yeah.
You'd have had to have dumped it in the mailbox. Yeah. You'd have to turn into the...
I probably wouldn't have even saw it.
Yeah, you'd have got clipped. That hurt so bad.
Yep, I'd be done with scooters.
Yeah,
you'd have brought it. No, that, I mean, here's the thing about up north. This was the year where the kids really started to enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. where they were asking to go up
mm-hmm. yeah.
And hang out and when can we go next? And
girls, you know, that's kind of why. Girls.
And that's exactly what it was. Beginning of summer, they found these yep. girls hanging out and then
all these different
all
girls.
Of a sudden, every
for
weekend,
some reason, where we go, it's like it's an offset. There's more girls than boys.
Yep.
I don't know why, but
good for them.
You know, there's a country that has that issue.
More girls and boys?
Yeah, more women than men. And so because of World War II.
Interesting.
And so there was always a population issue, and apparently there's like 7-1 women to men. So every time any man goes to this country, there's like 7 women who try to get hold of them right away, basically, like just trying.
Yeah.
Because they have no men to, like, you know.
It's crazy. I mean, that's a toss-up as to whether that's a problem or not.
I don't think it's actually a problem, but for them,
I mean,
it is.
Think about it though.
Not for the guy though.
No, but that's what I'm like. I mean, for the guy.
Oh yeah. Jeez.
I mean, could you imagine
that much? That's crazy.
I love my wife. But if I had seven of them.
And that's, you know, a wrap. What I mean? That's a wrap. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.